Reading from Genesis chapter 18, verse 29. Once again he spoke to him, "What if only 40 are found there?" He said, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." What could that mean? Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, June 13th, 2022. Mondays we read from our book, Prayer, the Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. And you're in for a real treat. I have two of my favorite kind of guests in the studio. They're reluctant. In fact, I had to not only convince them, but drag them up the steps. We're in Springfield at our WLUJ studios, and both of them are very reluctant. They didn't have any forewarning. I said, come on, be a part of things. They help volunteer doing our newsletter here in Springfield. And so they're coming with really no preparation or time to think through what they were going to say or what they will say. And so I appreciate getting to know Sue Bishop. She's from the Williamsville area, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Sue, we got you. See, you already got your first words over the air. She attends the Williamsville Methodist Church.
Right.
And then Jane, a.k.a. Jan Runkle. And I say Jane and Jan because as I was writing it down really quick, I said, so Jan, she said, who? Oh, you mean Jane? I'm like, oh, yeah, well, we're just getting to know each other. But Jane lives in Springfield and attends Cherry Hills Church. And as I mentioned, I said, come on, be a part of the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. So Jane will be doing our reading from Prayer, the Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. Last week, if you were tuned in, we had Tim join me in the studio, and his theme was Try Tears. Today, we're going to look at Influential Intercession Persists Until It Receives, and maybe we'll have time to move on to Spirit-Prompted Intercession Wins Lost Loved Ones. So we'll see if we can cover those readings today. But I wanted to do a few shout-outs. I didn't get a chance this past Friday, but we had a great bunch of hard-working volunteers, and I told them, once you volunteer, your life volunteers. Did you know that? And a few said, well, maybe I should leave now. And I think, had they known they were going to be up in the studio, I think you guys might have left a little earlier.
Yes.
But let me do a few little shout-outs. Michael, who was a part of last week's Testimony Tuesday, Michael DeHart Jr., he brought Benjamin and Evelyn, so they volunteered all day long to help us get our mailing out. Dan, the radio man, Ryan, he's from Springfield, as are the DeHarts. He helped out all day. Keith Timko, also from Springfield, what a super volunteer. He helped and assisted. Sue Bishop, who's here in the studio with us. Trish from Springfield, she helped out. She was a first-time volunteer, and I think she recently said she had retired and moved to the Springfield area and heard the announcement and came in and helped. And Jane Runkle, who's from Springfield, who was probably one of the last volunteers, she called a little later and said, you still need help? And I told Paul, never turn away a volunteer. And it became a divine appointment because here she is back in the studio joining us for today's edition of Mark and Friends. So before we do our reading, I know you had no preparation or no forewarning to be a part of today's broadcast, but Jane, I'll just start with you. You know, you've been attending Cherry Hills Church, but you said you grew up Catholic, and I know some Catholics that love Jesus and follow the Lord, but I think God was working in your hearts to maybe bring you to a greater or maybe a fuller understanding of his word and the importance that it plays in living daily for Jesus. Is that what one of the reasons you're at Cherry Hills?
Well, I grew up Catholic. My dad was Catholic. My mom was not. And so mom promised to raise us kids Catholic. So I went to a Catholic church and a Catholic school all my life. Well, high school, I went to a public school. But then I went through a divorce, and then I moved from a small town to Springfield. And then my mom passed in 1988 from a massive heart attack. Mm. And a girlfriend of mine kept asking me to go to a Baptist church with her, and I kept telling her no. And my grandma was Assembly of God. And so one time I decided to go ahead and go to the Baptist church with my girlfriend, and that very day, I asked Jesus into my heart. It was something that I had never felt you know, we had gone through First Communion and Confirmation and all those things, but I never felt Jesus in my heart. Mm-hmm. And I remember the minister said, if you were to die today, do you know where you would spend eternity? Well, it was so close to when my mom passed, that was really fresh in my mind. And I thought, you know, I really don't know where I would go if I were to die today. And so I went forward that day and was taught, confess my sins and, you know, said, I want to change and I want to believe. And ever since then, I've had Jesus in my heart.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. And see, Jane, I told you there's probably other listeners that are either identifying with that being their story, or maybe there's some people that have been very religious in their life and followed many traditions, but have never thought of God in terms of having a relationship, that it can be personal, that
right.
you can really sense and feel the magnitude of what Jesus did on our behalf,
right.
that he died for our sins.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And did there seem to be a greater hunger for God's word or reading the scriptures after that commitment? Has that been a process? Or walk us through how God's word maybe became more living and active.
Well, yeah, in the beginning, after that day, I went to work the next day and I was preaching it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was like, oh my gosh, you guys, you can know Jesus. I mean, you can know where you're going to be after you die. And I was just on fire. But then thankfully, my church was a Bible preaching church, and I really got into the Bible, which I never did as a Catholic. And so it's been a gradual thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's amazing. It's mm-hmm. just amazing.
And recognizing that we have a wide span of listeners, people scanning the dial. Some of our frequencies are between rock and roll stations, so they're looking for that next rock and roll song, and they're like, who are these people talking about? And I want to make a clarification, because oftentimes we can use Christian terms, and we know what they mean, but like when you say you're on fire, somebody might be like, what? What does that mean? That means you're just very enthusiastic,
yes.
passionate, excited.
Yes.
I think most people would understand what that meant,
yes.
but usually when you come to the realization that God loves you, that he created you, that you're unique and he wouldn't have made you any other way. He made you just the way you are, with gifts and abilities to serve him, to know him, to have a relationship with him. When you kind of take that to heart, it gives meaning and purpose to your life. And then you find out that Jesus, because of the sin in our lives, Jesus paid our price. He died on the cross. It's an amazing truth. And so when you kind of take the totality of what God did on our behalf, you realize, wow, he really, really loves me. And it can bring confidence and clarity to your life and give you hope.
And I use another C word, contentment. I mean, I am so content where I am right now in my life. And due to the fact that I have Jesus and I have Christian friends, and every day can bring trials, mm-hmm. but it's okay. I mean, you'll get through them, you
yeah.
know, you'll just get through them. And the radio station, I've been listening to WLUJ, well, for a long time. I have to say I was saved in 1989 and baptized. And unfortunately, I went back out into the world when I got my divorce in 93, 94, and I lived as a crazy person, and then I came back.
Mm-hmm,
so you
mm-hmm.
can, you know, and God still loves me, and he loved me the whole time.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
he was wanting me to come back the whole time. And so, but Christian radio has been very important to my life.
Well, thank you, Jane. And I'll put the disclaimer out there again. Both Jane and Sue had no idea I was going to be pulling them up into the studio to share. In fact, we never discussed talking about their faith journey or their personal life. We're going to do a reading from our book. But now, Sue, you've seen how Jane has done it. And what I appreciated about just getting to know you, we were working on the same table together, labeling and stamping things. But you were easy to talk to, and I loved your prayer before our broadcast. You prayed very freely and openly that God would use what's said and shared, and you thanked him for this opportunity, even though you didn't choose to be a part
right.
of it.
Right.
But you knew that God is sovereign and he is good, and maybe this was a time that he wanted to stretch you a little. So without having the time to prepare or think it through, could you share a little of your faith journey?
Well, I was born at Williamsville and went to the Methodist Church there for a couple years, born out in the country in a house, and we moved to Middletown, went to Methodist Church there for a number of years. Well, eventually I found my way to Michigan, and I was in Michigan 30 years, and there, about 1980, my daughter saw in the church bulletin something about having foreign exchange student. Mm. So from there on, we were heavily involved in hosting exchange students from many countries and sending her to Peru for a year. And then that got into working with and hosting people from Michigan State. And from there, it evolved into refugees. Mm-hmm. And so when the Kosovo crisis happened, I was, as a volunteer, leading our Love in Action outreach, and we started resettling refugees from all over the country. Mm-hmm. And it's just been a wonderful experience to know people from other parts of the world and being able to teach them about American life. I mean, as simple as thermostat or running water and things like that, you know. But then my husband and I went on a program called Walk to Emmaus, and that really changed our lives. That was about 1995, and from there we went into the prison ministry with Walk to Emmaus, and it's just been a wonderful walk with God all the way through. He's been with me. You know, we all worry and so forth, but I have such faith in God that worry doesn't seem to hit me like it used to many years ago.
And that Walk to Emmaus, Herb the Radio Servant, who I've talked about many times over the years, he got that title, the Radio Servant, because for 25 years he did just about anything I needed with the radio ministry, from fixing things or building or finding components or traveling or running errands or a host of different things. But he had his life changed during one of those walks to Emmaus. And so if you ever get invited to participate or be a part of that, I would highly recommend it. It's kind of an intensive weekend where you learn about God's word, how to have a relationship with him, how you can trust the Bible, who is Jesus. And they really give you hope and meaning and purpose because they focus on God's love for you. And if you're tuned in today and you've never experienced that there's this holy, mighty, awesome, wonderful God who has your best interest in mind, who created you and fashioned you, you're not here by circumstance or chance or just because a man and woman got together at some point. You're here because God destined you to be a part of his creation. Yes. And if you exist, it means he wanted you in his creation. But he doesn't just want you existing. He wants you thriving in that relationship with him, a personal relationship where he will walk with you and guide you through each and every day and give your life true meaning and purpose. And so it's great, Sue and Jane, just getting to know you kind of on the fly here. Appreciate it. It's turning into kind of a Testimony Tuesday on Monday. So thank you for sharing your faith journey. And if you are tuned in today and you have not began that faith journey, take that baby step today. Entertain the idea that there is a God who loves you, who cares for you, and just try him. Just say, God, please reveal yourself to me. Help me understand how Jesus is desiring to be my Lord and Savior. I think most people can understand they're sinful or they fall short or don't measure up. But take that step of faith that Jesus can be the answer to that sin problem, that the rebellion that's in all of us, that we're very self-centered, and that he wants to come and abide and live in you, but he'll forgive you of your sins and give you a fresh new start. And then, like Jane has said, then the cares of the world become much more lessened because we know our eternity is ahead of us. And yes, there's still aggravation and heartache and pain and suffering and loss, but we have somebody to go through or navigate with us during those times. All right. Well, okay, here's the easy part, because I know, Jane, you're going to be a good reader and to take some of the pressure off of everyone. But we're reading from our book, Prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. We're in chapter 3. And if you miss a portion of this broadcast or you missed last week or other Mondays when we read from this book, they're all archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, and also at wluj.org, wluj.org, under the Mark and Friends link. So just click on the Mark and Friends link, and you can listen to basically 12 years worth of programs. Ooh. So all the prayer readings we've done are stored there at the website. But today we're going to look at Influential Intercession Persists Until It Receives.
Abraham was a flawed but highly influential spiritual leader. He was the spiritual father of the faithful and the biological father of the Jews. One of the strengths in his leadership was that he was mighty in intercession. God and two angels cloaked themselves in human form and visited Abraham and Sarah to tell them Sarah would bear a child within a year. After dinner, the three guests got up to leave, and the Lord confided in Abraham that they were about to investigate the extreme wickedness of Sodom. Realizing that judgment was about to come, Abraham valiantly positioned himself between the Lord and Sodom and seriously interceded on behalf of the people of that city.
And I'm going to jump in here, Jane. I just want our listeners to know, Jane has not seen these words before. She just got the book handed into her hands, so she's reading with no practice or no prior preparation. So you're doing great, and your voice is sounding pretty good, too.
Okay, then. From Genesis 18:22 through 25, the men turned away and went towards Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?"
Don't you two love this? How where Abraham's like, "Far be it from you, God, your character, far be it from you." I mean, who is Abraham to say that to
right.
God? But it's how we are. Like, far be it, God. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't be that way, right?
Mm-hmm. There is much to learn from this prayer. Did you notice that Abraham gave God a definite challenge to respond to? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Notice how he appealed to the Lord's righteous and just character. Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? God listened to the appeals, and it profoundly affected him for the sake of the 50 righteous. The Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." That's from verse 26. Wow! One man's prayers had potentially saved the entire city. Yet Abraham was not through. He was not blind, and he was no naive fool. He knew the wicked nature of Sodom. He cared enough for the people of Sodom that he had to be sure of their deliverance. So he continued his intercession. Then Abraham spoke up again. "Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city because of 5 people?" That's verses 27 and 28. God must have smiled when Abraham had the boldness to ask him to spare Sodom again, this time for the sake of 45 righteous people. "If I find 45 there," he said, "I will not destroy it." Verse 28. "I probably would have stopped there, content to leave well enough alone, but not Abraham. He was relentlessly aggressive in his prayers. 4 more times he sought God on behalf of Sodom. Each time he appealed for greater grace and mercy." And now we're in Genesis 18:29 through 32. Once again he spoke to him, "What if only 40 are found there?" He said, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there?" He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." Abraham said, "Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there?" He said, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there?" He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." Amazing. One man's persistently insistent prayers secured the safety of an entire city, if the city had a representation of a mere 10 righteous souls. It took faith to keep coming back to God and asking for more. It took serious concern for those people. It also took holy stubbornness. And it worked. God agreed to Abraham's request. Unfortunately, Abraham had been overly optimistic in his view of Sodom. He must have assumed that surely his nephew Lot would have been able to convert a few others to join him on behalf of God and the righteousness. But sadly, as you know, Lot had failed to convert even his own wife. There were not even a handful of righteous people in Sodom, so it was destroyed. But don't miss the bigger issue. Abraham's intercession had potentially spared Sodom from destruction. Persistent petition makes a difference.
Yeah, and I'm going to read that again. In case you're just driving to work or maybe you're stepping back into the car after filling up your gas tank or something, listen to these last five words. Persistent petition makes a difference. It's pretty amazing. What do they say?
Yes.
You're never so high as when you're on your knees. When we're petitioning Almighty, Sovereign, All-Powerful God, He responds in various ways. But I love Abraham, going back to earlier when you read, then Abraham spoke up again. Now that I've been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city because of 5 people? See how he kind of turns it instead of like 40 or whatever, just because of the 5, the difference. And it's kind of interesting. And then he works his way down. But he knew that God was a good, merciful God, as hopefully all of you tuned in today. God is full of mercy, full of grace. He desires all to come to know him, no matter what baggage you carry, mistakes you've made, the sins you've done today. God is always ready and able. There's that verse, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. That's a promise in the Bible. So turn from whatever you might be entangled or the disappointments in life. God is ready and willing and able, and through the Lord Jesus Christ, you can start anew. And that's one of the reasons why this book is so important. We can pray for those loved ones, those family members, those neighbors, those co-workers, the people that we're around. We can intercede on behalf of their souls, their eternity, by welcoming God to do a new work. Give them a chance. Give them an opportunity. Help them see you at work, God, in some way. Those are the kinds of prayers we can pray. So thank you for joining me, ladies. It's been a pleasure. You got your radio debut. In fact, I forgot to mention this, Sue, but I think it was 68 years ago around this time that you had your first time on the radio, maybe first and only until today, where I think you sang, was it 4-H? What was it?
4-H with my sisters.
Part of 4-H, 68 years ago. You would not know it from how she looks today, but she's a senior saint. And thank you also, Jane, for joining us for today, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Sue Bishop, and Jane Runkle with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.